Matthew chapter 19, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 1 says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. And the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And they said unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. His disciples said unto him, If the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, All men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs that were made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it." Let's pray together today. Father, we bow before you this morning. And God, we thank you for letting us gather again as your people and to gather around your word. And God, I pray, Lord, today that you would just show us from your word some of the intentions of your heart. And God, I pray that you'd use this message, Lord, to help somebody here. And God, to help us to be able to better see how you see marriage and how important it is to you. Lord, we love you and we praise you today, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I try to be an expositor. It's what I set out to do years ago. And what that means is we pick books of the Bible and we start in verse 1 and we preach all the way through. I think God has commanded us to preach the whole counsel of God, to preach every word, every jot and tittle, and line upon line and precept upon precept. And one of the reasons why I like to do that is because of passages like this. No doubt today the sermon that we're going to talk about is one that is uncomfortable for me to preach about. I know that today we live in a culture where divorce is a common thing. I know that we live in a culture where divorce is an acceptable thing. And I know that I'm preaching to some folks here today that have been divorced. And so it's hard for me because I definitely want to be compassionate. And it's a difficult thing for me to stand up here and preach and knowing that, you know, you're preaching to a half congregation of divorced people. As you can tell, it's uncomfortable. It's not something I usually do. It's also uncomfortable for me today because I know that as we get into this, I would say a lot of y'all are going to just disagree with what I say. Okay, I have a belief that is not popular. It's, you know, I know that today I'll be in the minority. I know that even if you go to a lot of other preachers, most preachers, you know, there's going to be a lot of preachers that aren't going to agree with what I say today. And I want you to know up front that if you don't agree with me, it's okay. Okay, we can agree to disagree, and that'll be all right. But we're going to look at the subject of marriage today, and we're going to look at the subject of divorce, and we're going to look at what I think God tries to tell us through the scriptures about it. Let's first off, before we even get into this, talk about God establishing marriage. Way back in the Garden of Eden, the Bible said, Jesus said, do you not remember that in the beginning God made a male and female? And we got Adam and Eve there in the Garden of Eden, and God performed the very first marriage ceremony and said, this is the very first husband and wife. And so imagine being there in the Garden of Eden, and there you got Adam and Eve, the first husband and wife, the first family of mankind. And so before Israel ever came on the scene, before there was ever a nation of Israel, before there was ever a government, before there was ever the church, there was the family and there was marriage. And I think it ought to let us know and ought to set a tone today for how valuable and how important God views the family. It is the foundation of all society. It is the foundation of all things, which is our families and our homes and our marriages. It is of the utmost importance in God's eyes. You know, if we want to have good communities, you know what we need? We need good families. If we want to have a good country, you know what we need? We need good families. If you want your kid to go to a good school, you know what you need? You need good families. And if a church wants to be good, it needs good families within that church. And so the family is very important. And make no mistake about it, as the devil came there in the Garden of Eden and attacked Adam and Eve, he's still showing up around today and he is attacking families. Now, think about the ripple effect that it has. You might say, you know, think about me and Laura. I'll use me and Laura as an example. I'll pick on us today, amen. If me and Laura have a problem and end up splitting up and divorcing, it's not just us that suffer the consequences of that. Y'all would suffer as well. Same thing as if it was you and your family or whatever the case may be. And the devil knows that. He knows that if he wants to attack at the heart of everything, he's going to attack marriages and he's going to attack families. And we see it every day around us. You know, when I think about whenever the devil came and attacked Adam and Eve, attacked their marriage and their home, the first thing he did was he tried to divide Adam and Eve. Notice he came to Eve. He didn't come to both of them together. He went to Eve alone. And one of the dangers in our lives is if we are divided in our home. And we ought to be careful about that. We need to be on the same page. We need to be thinking the same things. And we need to be moving toward the same goals. And then he deceived Eve. Told her this would be better. This would be something that will make you happy. This is what God's Word says. He did all these things. And eventually he destroyed what God had made. And it had to be remade and rebuilt. And so all that's going on, and so we know it. And listen, the Pharisees come to Jesus. Look at what it said in verse 3. It says, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Now, they came to Jesus in that day with the subject of divorce because they knew it was a tough issue. Can I say, if it was a tough issue 2,000 years ago in the culture of Israel, how much tougher must it be today? And so they came to him with a tough question, some tough things. And here is Jesus' response. So, not my response. These words that are in red are not Brother Derek's words. They're Jesus' words. He said this. He said, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made a male and female and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Period. That's the end of my statement. So they asked Jesus about it and you just read what he said. They said, can we divorce people for any reason or can marriages end for any reason we want to do? And he told them this. He said, this is what it is. Male, female, leave your husband, your mom and dad, you join together and let what God has joined together, don't let anybody put asunder. Now, when we say don't let anybody put asunder, I would say, again, me and Laura, if God has put me and Laura together and we're not to let anybody put it asunder. We're not to let anybody break it up. Guess what that means? I'm not supposed to break it up. And Laura's not supposed to break it up. And nobody else is supposed to break it up. We have entered into a serious union before God. One in which He intends for us to stay together. And so that is His answer. That is His plan. And I like what He said too. He said that this is the plan from the beginning. This is how it's always been. This is how God established it at the very first and the very set of this whole thing. That we should be married and we should stay together, and that should be the goal for the remainder of our lives. Can I tell you today what God's perfect plan is? And I know everything isn't perfect. I'm not naive enough to stand up here and say that. But God's perfect plan is this. That one man marry one woman for one lifetime. That's what God wants. That's what He intends. And I think that He set that standard, and I think that that needs to be our standard, because when you start making exceptions, we make more exceptions. When we start finding one reason why we can get out, then we make more reasons why we can't. And listen, I hope you understand today, and I don't think anybody would disagree with me, that our culture has a very loose and light set of standards for why we'll get divorced. We're going to talk about a couple today that some people say are biblical excuses, and there's only two, and we've added to that list. I mean, hey, if I just don't like you anymore, you know, I mean, how many times have we heard someone say this? I've just fell out of love. What, I don't even know what that means, to have fallen out of love or to fall in love. I want you to know something. Good marriages, okay marriages, bad marriages, whatever, they all require work. They all require work. And love is a choice that I make every single day. It's not a feeling, and it's not a fantasy. It's a choice that I'm going to say I'm going to love Laura, and I'm going to love her unconditionally, and I'm going to love her because I've chosen to be married to her, and we've entered the marriage vows, and we're going to love one another. Now, I know that doesn't sell movies, and I know it doesn't sell the books, but it's just the facts of the matter. And can I say this? I think everybody here knows this, that is married, has been married, and if you're ever going to be married, I want you to know something. When two people come and live together, things have just got different. Amen? Things have just changed. And there are going to be some things that happen that when you are in love, things are going to start getting on people's nerves. Things that used to be cute are not cute anymore. And, man, things that we thought was nice, it might not be nice anymore. And so, look, this is real world stuff. And I'm not going to just leave my wife because now that gets on my nerves. Because can I tell y'all a secret? Now, I don't know why it is, but I do some things that get on Laura's nerves. Now, I don't know what her deal is with that, but she needs to get on board. But so it's a two-way street, right? It's a two-way street. This is a give and take thing. This is called a marriage. Two have become one. And now we've got to work together to make this thing work. And I'm going to tell you something I believe. If two people both want to be happily married, then they can be. Now, it takes two. You know, if one wants to and one don't, I understand that's a problem. But if two people want to be happily married, they can be. I can choose to be happy every day. And I can choose to say, my goal today is going to make Laura happy. And I'm going to try to not do the things that I know don't make her happy. And I'm going to try to do some things that make her happy. And so if we both do that, man, we get some things in return. And so that's the goal. That's His intended plan. One woman, one man, one lifetime. And listen, I understand. I feel like today I'm standing in a white water rapid river that's going this way, and I'm standing this way. Right? But we need to tell our kids that it's one man and one woman for one lifetime, ever. When you get married, that's it. When you get married, there's no outs. There's no, I don't like them anymore. There's no, I'm going to come back home. No, you're not. You're going to figure it out. And I think, I understand that it's still not perfect. I understand that there will still be marriages that will end. But I think if everybody thought, when I get married, this is it, that maybe some people would not get married. Maybe there would be more thought put into it and prayer. And maybe we would make sure we're marrying the person that we want to marry and wants to be married to us. I think a lot of people go into marriages today in the back of their mind knowing if it don't work out, it just won't work out. And what a horrible way to enter a marriage with that in the back of your mind. Just know you get married that I'm going to spend the rest of my days on this earth with that person. And if that gives you pause, or if you go, I don't know about that, well, then maybe we ought to maybe wait or think a little longer or pray some more. So that's what it needs to be. Now, I'd also say this too. Look at what it said in verse 7. So the Pharisees are always waiting. They went into this asking a question, kind of probably knowing what Jesus was going to say, and they had a response. Verse 7. They said unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of a divorcement and put her away? So Old Testament, from the beginning it was not so, but Moses started letting people get divorced. Hey, you know, we'll get it legal and we'll draw up a divorce, right? So Moses let it happen, so it must be okay. And this was Jesus' response. And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. So again, yeah, Moses, because y'all are sinners and because y'all have hard hearts, he allowed it to happen. He suffered. He allowed it. Then he says in verse 9, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. Now I want to stay on verse 9 for just a second, because within the church, and I don't know how long it's been or what it is, but many churches, many Christians, again, Brother Derek's in the minority, and I know it's always dangerous when you're in the minority, right? And I know that the majority of preachers and the majority of Christians and the majority of churches use verse 9 as an out to get divorced. They say, well, if this happens, I can get divorced. And I'm going to go ahead and give you the other verse that people use is, it says, if the unbelieving depart, talking about a marriage, and the idea of this is, if the unbelieving depart, let them depart, a brother or sister is not under bondage in such situations. The idea there is that if, they just say two people that don't believe in God get married, one of them gets saved and falls in love with Jesus and starts coming to church, and the other person says, I don't want anything to do with this, they leave, okay? So that's kind of the idea behind that. It's one verse out of all the Bible that makes you think that that can happen. First off, let me ask you this. Before we go any further, does anybody know of very many people that were both lost and somebody got saved and fell in love with Jesus and their spouse said, because of your love for Jesus, I'm leaving? The reality is there's probably not many, okay? No, doesn't happen, right? So it's a very rare thing. But here let's draw our attention back to verse 9. And I think this is significant. He said, whosoever shall put his wife, put away his wife, except it be for fornication. Now let's stop there. He uses the word fornication. Okay. He said, and shall marry another committeth adultery. He uses a different word. It's called adultery. He uses a word called fornication. And then he uses the word adultery. If he meant the same thing, he'd have used the same word. But he used two different words. Fornication is typically meant to say that someone had relations before they were married. Adultery is meant to say I'm having relations after I get married. You say, where are you going with this? Do y'all remember Mary and Joseph? They were espoused to be married, and Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant with child. And the Bible says that Joseph was going to put her away, divorce her. You say, well, hang on a minute now. Why is he going to put her away? They haven't been married yet. In this day and time, when people were engaged to be married, they had already entered into a contract, hey, we're going to get married. Well, Joseph's done found out, because she's pregnant, fornication has happened, and you have had relations before we're married, and I could put you away. And what I believe Jesus is saying there is, again, in that setting, man, if you're engaged to be married and you find out your wife has been with somebody before you even get married, accept it be for that. I think if he was talking about adultery, he'd have said it again. He'd have said, look, if your wife commits adultery, your husband commits adultery, you can get out of the marriage. But that's not what he says. And so here's my other thoughts. Marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. We are called as believers the bride of Christ. And let me tell you something about the bride of Christ. Me, I'm the bride of Christ. I am married to Christ. You are married to Christ. Can I tell you something about me? I haven't always been faithful to Christ. I've let him down. I hadn't always loved him like I should. I've made him look bad. I've done a lot of stuff. You know what he's never done yet? He's never divorced me yet. He's never said, you know what? I've had enough of you. And here's what, I don't think it's any coincidence that this passage comes after all the ones we've been preaching the last couple weeks. Because here's what some of y'all would say. I would say it too. How many times am I going to let my spouse be unfaithful? Five times. Does that sound familiar from last week? Peter said this. I mean, how many times? How many times am I supposed to forgive? How many times should I do that? Seven times? I mean, get real. I would do it. And Jesus said, no. How about seven times 70? How about every time that you got to forgive, you forgive? I would compel you to go back to look at a book in the Old Testament about a prophet named Hosea. God led Hosea to marry a prostitute named Gomer. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be married to a prostitute named Gomer. I don't think you can be. I don't know if there's ever been an attractive woman named Gomer in the history of the world, but her name was Gomer and a prostitute. And he married her, had kids with her. You know what she did? She went back to being a prostitute. Now, what we would think is that he would say, I'm getting the kids and you can have your prostitute ways. That's what we would do. You know what God told him to do? He said, go get her out of there and bring her home. Go get her out of there and bring her home. Now, I know what you're thinking, because I think the same things you think. I would say, not me. I wouldn't do that. I'm not going to be made look like a fool. I'm not going to be hurt like that. I'm not going to do this and this and this. Here's the only problem with that. That's not what God told us to do. And how can God compel us to forgive and to love? By the way, I mentioned it earlier. If we're a picture of Christ in the church, you know how Jesus loves me? He loves me unconditionally. He doesn't love me because of anything I bring to the table. Y'all know that? He didn't look down from heaven and say, now Derek Denton, he brings a lot to the table, and I love him. In fact, he looked down and said, Derek Denton brings nothing to the table. He is pitiful. He is a pitiful excuse for a man. He is a pitiful excuse for, and yet I love him. So guess how I'm supposed to love Laura? Not that she's a pitiful excuse to be anything. But guess what? I'm not supposed to love her because of anything she brings to the table. I'm supposed to love her unconditionally. That means there are no conditions to my love. I love, because Christ gave me that example. I love you because I love you. I don't love you because of everything else might be extra. I don't love you because of the great mother you are. I don't love you because of how you treat me. I don't love you because of this, this, or this. I just love you. And we're supposed to be that picture of Christ and the church. That we forgive, that we love, and that we say we're going to do it. Now, again, the two examples that people will claim, and I don't claim them. I guess you figured that out by now. I don't think adultery is an excuse to get a divorce. I don't think, and listen, you say, well, what about abuse? I get it. This isn't a perfect world. And I think if your spouse is abusing you, you ought to separate, but it needs to get right. So I can't do that. I understand. I get it. By the way, I know that sometimes, guess what? If I go home today and tell Laura, say, I'm out of here, you keeping the kids, and I'm out of here, right? And I'm gone. And she says, I don't want that to happen. I said, I don't care what you want. I'm out of here. There ain't nothing she can do, right? And that might have happened to some of y'all. Like somebody might come home one day and say, I'm out of here. And you say, well, I want to work it out. And they say, I don't want to work it out. And I get it. There ain't nothing you could have done, right? But I think that God's way and our way needs to be that we're going to stay married and we're going to stay in this thing and we're going to do it to honor and glorify God. I tell people this all the time, like I've done weddings, and here's the marriage vows. They say, do you take this person to be your spouse, in good times and bad, in sickness and in health, in poverty and in wealth, or until they make you feel bad? No, that ain't in it. Or until they have an affair on you. No, we don't bring that up either. We say, as long as you both shall live. Jesus says, I do. There's going to be bad days. And some people have worse days than others. Some people have real bad days. But I think God intends us to try to forgive. God is a God of reconciliation. That's what He is. And He wants us to reconcile. He wants us to be with it. Now, I would say this. The disciples said in verse 10 that the disciples, I'm sure, are sitting there like, what in the world? Like some of y'all are sitting today going, what in the world is what they're talking about? And they said, man, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it's not good to marry. And Jesus said this, which I say to all you today. He said, all men can't receive this saying. Save they to whom it's given. And he went on down and he said, he that's able to receive it, let him receive it. Jesus said that 2,000 years ago. I'll say this to you. Everybody can't hear what I'm saying today. Some people, it's a hard saying. It's a hard word. You know, we just brought a hard word today. That no matter what happens and no matter how you're treated, God expects us to forgive and to move on. And that's hard. That's hard. And you might be here today and say, I can't do that. And I would say, I agree with you. You can't do it. You know what you need? You need the help, the supernatural help and touch of a living God to be able to forgive people that have harmed you and made you look like a fool or hurt you in a way that is very hurtful, to be able to forgive them and move on. I completely get it and understand. That's why He's here. That's why He is God, and that's why we need His help. And so if you're that person who says, there ain't no way I could do it, join the club of everybody else. But can I tell you this? There have been those that have done it. There have been those that have had rough days in their marriage and they're still married. There have been those that went through rocky waters and have got past it and now are happy today. And so before you say it can't be done, let me say it has been done. And as someone said, what couldn't be done until it was done. And there are people still today that are married, that are happy, that are loving God, that are serving God, that went through things just like others have went through, and they're still together and still doing it. So we know that it can be done. The same God that helped them would be the same God that helps you. Now, and let me say this too. I know I've nearly come to an end. But I just want to say this too about marriage. We always go to these extremes, like when we deal with this, like of being abused or having affairs, or, and these are extreme cases. Let me tell you something else that happens in marriage. If you didn't know, and I'm no marriage expert, I got married when I was 20 and I'm 35, so we're that long into it. But I do know that life changes. Y'all know people, I'm not the same person I was when I was 20 years old. I've changed. I'm not near about the same person. And I'm probably going to change again in the next 15 years. And I think too about like, we're going to have, and I see this happen, so I'm just saying it. Right now we've got 7 children we're raising. And our lives revolve around them, okay? You just do, whether you like it or not. And we like it. I'm not saying we don't lie. We enjoy it. I don't get home. I haven't been getting home till 7:30 on a few nights because I'm coaching Cage's little football team, right? And I like it. I enjoy it. There's going to come a day, oh, how we long for it, when all the kids are out of the house, right? Right? They're all gone. They're all grown. They all moved on. But then that's going to be a day where our life, what our life has revolved around for all these years is now not what our life revolves around. And can I tell you, some people have a hard time dealing with it. They call it empty nest. I haven't experienced this empty nest deal, but that's what they call it. There's some people who work their whole life. And some of you ladies know about this. Your husband works all his life and then he retires and he's home all the time. You say, what? Hey, you need to go somewhere, right? You need to, I don't know what you're doing here all the time, but you need to go. You ain't working no more, but you need to go somewhere, right? And so those things, those change and those dynamics bring about change, and the marriages have to work through them. All that. So it's not just these extremes of horrible things. It's just the changes of life that come about and bring about these things in our life so that we have to work through. And although we're not... we're in a different place. I know that we will come to that one day. We'll come to those things. I know I've talked to preachers, right? So I've been pastoring this church. There's going to come a day not long from now. It's not even that many years from now where I will have been doing this longer than I have ever done anything else. Like I'll have pastored this church longer than I lived my previous life. So I started, And so I've known preachers that have pastored for 40, 45 years, and then they're not pastoring anymore, and they say, well, I don't know what to do. Like, your identity was tied to that, or y'all know, even careers. Like, this is what I've always done, now I don't do it anymore. And your spouse has to deal with that. Like you got to get a grip or whatever, And so that all that happens. So here would be my challenge to us today. If you are young or you've never been married, and you look to be married one day, I would say this: pray and seek the face of God and make sure that the person you marry is the person God wants you to be with. And make it in such a way that you know that when I get married, I plan on being married to this person for the rest of my life. And so it's an important decision. Some of you that have been through bad marriages or whatever know that if you make a wrong decision, what comes with that? And we could talk about, a lot of people say, oh, well, God says I'm still committing adultery if I've been married and remarried and all this other stuff. Yeah. Let me tell you another thing that happens. If you get divorced, and those of you that have been divorced know, the consequences of just being divorced are rough. Especially if you got kids and you got new spouses and you got you know, now your kids are going to 4 and 5 and 6 Thanksgivings and Christmases because families are divided and all this stuff. So it's just a consequence in and of itself. If you are married today, I would say this. Work hard at it. Do your part. You choose to be happy. Forgive your spouse and love them unconditionally. Don't put conditions on your love. And say, I want to be happily married, and I'm going to do what I got to do to be that way. And if you're one of those people that I talked about earlier that has been divorced and maybe you're remarried and or whatever, I know that most of you probably have already done this, but you continue on in faith. You know what God does? He forgives. He forgives. You know what sin God doesn't forgive? The only sin God can't forgive is the sin of unbelief. That you won't believe Him and trust Him. But any other sin, He'll forgive. And so if you've been divorced and remarried and all this other stuff, just confess it and repent of it and move on in faith. And say, I'm married now and I'm married to this person and I'm going to choose to do right. And I'm going to love my spouse and I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to love them unconditionally when we go on. You know what we need? We need good families. We need good, strong marriages. We need them in our church. We need them in this neighborhood. We need them in our parish. Our country needs them. And we all got to do our part to have them. And so I know today this was a hard word. And I know that it might not be one we like to hear. But I do think it's God's way. I do think it's God's way. I do think God's way is the one man, one woman for one lifetime. That's what He wants. And so let's strive in our marriages to love one another, to honor and glorify God, and to show a lost world what Christ and the church looks like together. Why don't you stand with us today? We're going to have a time of invitation, a time for maybe us to even pray and commit to our marriages and commit that we want to do right and honor God in all that we do.